As I typically do, I put together a booklet describing or written form of what I want to share. And I don't always share everything that's in the booklet because I don't always remember. And then when I'm up here, other things come to mind and I share that instead. So it might be worth your while to get a hold of it. I want to share with you the position of God's grace in your life and how it is that we get to it. For us to get into God's grace, we're going to have to understand something. God's grace is supernatural, and it's Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you're seeing supernaturally. When you see him in your life, when you sense his peace, when you read the Word of God and understand who he is and who he is to you, you're seeing, thinking, taking in supernaturally. Grace is in that realm. Grace is hard-pressed in the natural realm. The natural realm, that's the one that thinks and speaks and acts naturally. All of its solutions are natural. All of its wisdom, all of its understanding of things, logic and reasoning, natural. This is a safe place for us because this is where we grew up. In this realm of the natural realm, understand that that has fallen. That's the fallen realm from God's original realm for us. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, it was a supernatural walk. Yes, there was natural things, but they saw everything supernaturally because they saw everything through God. Without God in the picture, now you're natural. You're thinking, that's all there is in the natural realm. For us to walk in grace and to be fuller of it, we got to realize something. If we live in the safe realm of our natural way of being, we're limiting the supernatural realm that has been born into us in our born-again spirit. To get this realm to work, I want to share a story about Peter walking on the water. Now you see, when the disciples were told by Jesus to get into the boat, they didn't want to go. They were supposed to go across this lake, and maybe they perceived that there was a storm coming, or it wasn't going to be an easy time, the waters were going to be rough, or whatever it was, they didn't want to get in. But Jesus compelled them to get into it. And then he went up to the mountain to pray. To go across this lake on a boat, if you were rowing, might take 2 hours to get across. They had been struggling in this boat for maybe 6 to 8 hours and were only halfway across. So the wind and the storm that was raging against them was keeping them from making headway. Understanding the story then, that they're halfway and they're not getting anywhere fast, and the boat's beginning to fill up with water, and from a natural point of view, it didn't look good to them. And they were beginning to panic. And that's when Jesus came walking on the water. In Mark's account, Jesus came close enough so they could see him and would have passed them by. Can you imagine? They probably thought, who is this? This is a ghost. In fact, it's what they called out. This is a ghost. And they were afraid even more. When Jesus calls out in the storm and says, don't be afraid, it is I. Now, these disciples had reason to be afraid, didn't they? They had been working all night and most of the morning and getting nowhere, and their boat was beginning to sink. So all of their natural reasoning said, what do you mean, Jesus? We have every reason to be afraid. We're sinking. We're going to drown. We're going to die. But Jesus calls out and says, don't be afraid. It's me. It is I. And Peter, I guess sometimes it's good to act before you think. And some people will criticize you because you act before you think. Why? Because when you're thinking naturally, you reason that you should think it through naturally. And if I can't see what's going to happen before it's going to happen, I won't do it. You know, it's the I'll believe it if I see it mentality of naturalism. And if I live by that, I want you to understand that Peter would have never gotten out of the boat. Right? He wouldn't have said, well, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. That was crazy. You're already panicked. You're already realizing that the thing that you trust in most of your life, which is the boat, is going down. You're holding on to that boat even more. But Peter says, Lord, if it's I, bid me come. And Jesus said, well, it's I. So come. Right? Now, here's the strangest thing. Peter gets out of the boat. Do you realize what the natural mind is doing to him? He's not paying attention to it, but if he were, it'd be saying, what are you doing, Peter? The boat's the safe place. You're going out into the water? Are you kidding me? You don't really, really know if that's Jesus. That could really be a ghost pretending to be Jesus. Can you hear all of the thinking? Peter gets out of the boat. That's not natural. That's supernatural. That's taking a risk. That's looking at Jesus despite all of the winds and the waves and the situation you're in. All of the winds and waves in your life could be what? Physical condition? Financial stress? A job that's burdening you? Or not having a job? Or any number of things that could have you, right? That has you. If you were a rational person, a rational human being, you ought to have care. You ought to be afraid. You ought to be overwhelmed by your situation. Any natural person would be. And God calls out to you and says, it's I. Don't be afraid. And you're thinking, that's not rational. And Peter's getting out of the boat? Where are you going? Maybe at some point you should act before you think. Now that's not rational. But Peter does. He gets out of the boat. And he's looking at Jesus, and he's walking on the water, and the winds and the waves are so bad that eventually he looks at them, right? He goes back to naturalism. And you know the story. He sunk to the bottom and he drowned. It was all over. He missed Jesus, and Jesus had to find another disciple. Oops, lost that one, Father. Sorry about that. He begins to sink. How many of you have ever begun to sink in water? You don't begin to sink, you sink, right? And he was close enough to Jesus where Jesus could reach out and grab him. Now, I got to believe that Jesus was probably at least as far away as Karen is to me. Could have been further, right? So he must have walked 10 yards, maybe, before he realized he shouldn't be doing that. And what's telling him that? His natural mind. Here's something I want you to think about. We have understood healing. We've understood grace. And in a way, we started walking on water. Some of you have testified. I didn't call you up and say, look, I'll give you $20. I need some testimonies. I need you to talk about something, you know. Make it up. Anybody get a call like that? Nobody. Did your shoulder get healed? Your shoulder didn't get healed? Your shoulder. Your first, you got healed? It got healed, right? I didn't make that up. Your cousin recovered, right? The one that was supposed to die? recovered. You with me? We were walking on water. We were walking on water. We took a risk. That was a risk, right? For Rich to jump and lay hands on him and do something that the natural mind says, no, what is my laying hands on him going to do? And you know how your mind can think, right? But you do it before you think it through it. And we started walking on water. We started hearing miracles. But then we didn't get every answer, did we? Not everybody got what they prayed for. Kind of like Peter looking in his eyes at the storm and the winds and began to sink. Do you get my point? What are you going to do now? You've been walking on water. We've been walking on water. And we don't get exactly everything. And we're beginning to sink. What do we do? Well, it doesn't work then. Peter got 10 yards, probably. Jesus grabs him. They get in the boat. Next thing you know, they're on the other side. I bet Peter said, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Anybody hear me this morning? Don't tell me it doesn't work. Don't tell Peter it doesn't work. I'll tell you what happens, though. It'll stop working. When what? You get your eyes off of Jesus. And you start to sink. The position of grace. If I stay in the boat, I'll never walk on the water, will I? Right? The other disciples stayed in the boat. They just watched Peter go. Whoa. Whoa. But he did begin to sink. Did you see that? It wasn't working all the time. Did you see that? Right? Jesus got him. Well, it was a good thing Jesus was there then. Oh my gosh. If Jesus isn't here, nothing is going to work. It's all on him. It's all about him. And that's where grace is. We have been called to get into the position of grace. And that means we're going to have to get out of the boat. That means we're going to have to take some risk. And in that position of risk, if it doesn't work, you might begin to sink. It might mean failure. But you know, a rational person will not get themselves in a position where failure could be had. Right? Don't go there. It might not work. Peter didn't do that. Got out of the boat. If you want grace, where do you have to be? Out of the boat. Out of the boat. What does that mean? Stop thinking, depending, rationalizing, solution working, just naturally. Stop being a naturally thinking person. Start thinking the Word. Start seeing Jesus. Think heavenly thoughts. Think what's above and not beneath. As a Christian, you can stay in the boat. I call it the sheepfold. You can stay in the sheepfold and still look at Jesus as your shepherd, who will protect you and who will provide for you, but your life will pretty much be in the boat. Just natural. When God is, all of us know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, right? Precious psalm. But that was before Jesus was glorified, right? Now that he's glorified, he's done something with his sheep. You see, sheep need to be led. need to be fed, need to be protected. They can't handle the wolf, right? And a lot of Christians are like that. Who? I have no power. I have no authority. The devil is involved? Whoa. Are you hearing me? When Jesus died and was glorified, now we can become born again. He takes the sheep, and he turns them into sons and daughters. And he says, stop thinking like a sheep. You're now one with the shepherd. You have the shepherd life in you. You see, sons and daughters, they can lead others. Sons and daughters, they can pray for others. Sons and daughters, they can confront the demonic and not be afraid. It's a different place, isn't it? But to do that, you've got to get out of naturalism. You've got to get out of the boat and think spiritually. And it can't just be once in a while either. It's got to be something that you're going to be thinking about more and more, if not 24/7. In Debbie's testimony, she was talking about how worried and fearful she was, right? I got the impression it was kind of a 24/7 thing. You ever been worried about something 24/7? Well, that's taking what the gift of meditation and the gift of understanding and reasoning according to God's word and using it negatively. I'm thinking not about God's word. I'm thinking about what the world can do, what the world's situation is. I'm thinking naturally. In the natural realm, I am weak, unprotected, unled, unpowerful. And boy, doesn't that sound familiar? Get out of the boat. Get out of the sheepfold. Let God be God to you. This is where he wants you, in a position where you're standing and seeing and walking supernaturally 24/7. You're thinking supernatural thoughts. You're envisioning supernatural things. You're seeing the word of God in your life. You're seeing what God wants you to see. And you're not letting the world steal from you anymore. You're not staying in that boat anymore. You're staying in the grace position. And you're seeing Jesus. And that's supernatural. Can you do that? Can you believe in Jesus? Can you see Jesus? Can you see the Word? I think you can. I think you can see it 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, maybe even an hour. Right? If I'm thinking, speaking, and acting natural, and I want supernatural things to happen, shouldn't I change channels? Shouldn't I get out of the boat? Yeah! I need to think, speak, and act spiritually. Now, knowing that, knowing the difference and getting there are two different things. I may know I'm not supposed to think naturally, but I'm bound to it. I may know I'm supposed to be fearless, but I'm full of it. I'm full of fear. If I know that, then I know I'm living to the old man. How do I get there? I get there by knowing I'm not supposed to be there and knowing him. I need a work of grace in my life. I need to receive the miracle of his presence. The miracle of his presence. That's what transforms me. That's what delivers me from fears. I can't think my way out of fears, but I can experience him. And in his presence, I'm transformed. Anybody know what I'm talking about now? For me to see the glory of Jesus, for me to get to that place where I stop being so fearful and I'm in a position of grace, I need to see him. I need him to do a work in me. And for me to have that happen in me, that's a miracle. I don't want you to hear what I'm saying today and say, yeah, the pastor's right. I, I think naturally I'm in the boat and I want to be there, but I don't know how to get there, and it's up to me. You know what's up to you? To know you're not supposed to be here and to put this away and then to put Christ on and let him do his thing. Let him do his thing. What is that? Because you're with him, because you think his thoughts with him, the Word, because you exalt the Word of God and make it supreme. And here, listen to this point, and I'm going to close on this point. Until we see the Word of God as God, as much as when it was spoken and written, until we see it, it has no power in us. We can know it in our head, but it doesn't become powerful to us until our heart says, no. Lord, I know the Word of God is supposed to be Lord of my life. I know the Word of God is all powerful. I know the Word of God is supreme. I know the Word of God carries me. I know the Word of God is my grace. I know the Word of God is life and health and peace to me. I know the Word of God is supreme. And maybe in your heart you're thinking, that sounds good, but I'm not sure I'm there. You wait. You said that. You're thinking that. Guess whose job it is to make it happen to you? It ain't yours. It's his job. But we have to give him the opportunity, the position to do it. Get out of being natural by realizing you don't belong there. Get into your supernatural realm. Know Jesus. Know the Word. And highly exalt that Word. Make it above all words in your life. I could be whistling Dixie right now to you. Oh, I've heard you say that before, Pastor. Just make the Word of God supreme. All right. Here. In your heart, want it. Lord, I want the Word of God to be supreme. I'm asking you to make it so. Have you ever asked God to do that? Have you ever asked God, Lord, I know I don't see the Word of God as Lord of my life. I say it, but actually I live more over here. I'm asking you, bring me. Bring it to pass. Make me a true son and a true daughter, a believing believer. Make me full of grace. That's our prayer. That's what we can do. We can ask him and then be about that. Anybody here with me on that? And I'm saying, when you have an encounter with God, God moments or whatever, you know you don't belong there. You know you belong here. You can recognize the work of God in your life. You can agree with it. You can want it with your whole heart. And when you want it with your whole heart, he does it. He does it. I'm going to read one quote from E.W. Kenyon, and I'll close. Where did you go? All right. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, I got to say this before I read that, okay? Paul wrote this. He says, now I say that the heir, born-again believers, as long as he is a child, stays in the boat. You with me? Thinks natural, speaks natural, all solutions are natural. As long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, is no different than an unsaved person who's a slave to sin. You with me? though he is master of all. Did you hear that? Let me read that verse again. Now I say that an heir, a born-again believer, as long as he is a child, stays in the boat, stays natural, does not differ at all from someone who doesn't believe, as far as their life is concerned, though he is master of all. What? Did you hear that? Jesus is Lord. The word, I believe the word of God. Oh my gosh, then you're going to have to see what I'm telling you. You're born again, you're a master over the elements. You're a master over the demons. You're a master over sickness and disease and the curse of the law. You are master. Then why am I not experiencing it? Well, this verse says, an heir, as long as he is a child, as long as a Christian stays naturally minded, thinking, speaking naturally, they will not enter into the supernatural where they are master of all. Who makes that happen? I can only provide for it and say, Lord, do your thing. Make me like Jesus. Make me see it. Make me embrace it. Change my heart. I want Jesus' word to be Lord and supreme so that I can be a son and daughter and stop being a sheep. A sheep. All right, I want to quote E.W. Kenyon. Here is the Spirit's challenge. That you who read this take rights in your prayer. Begin to act like sons of God. Take a risk. You have heaven back of you. You have the very angelic forces to do your bidding. God is your strength and ability. All things are possible to you because you are daring to act on the word of God. Spiritual things are as real as material things. Spiritual forces are stronger than mental. Spiritual forces govern disease. Spiritual forces govern natural laws. The believer in his contact with material, spiritual, and mental forces is as Jesus was in his earth walk. He is a master. The believer is a new creation created by God himself. He has God's nature, eternal life. Jesus is made unto him wisdom. God is his strength. The Holy Spirit is ability. He has the love nature of God so that he does not and cannot act like a common man. He will not stay in the boat. You will not stay in the boat. You will not. Because you know him. Because you have him. Because you want to live for him. Because you want his will done. Love makes him like Jesus. He has the mind of Christ and the ability that Christ has in his earth walk. You're not going to like this last line. You're going to think, that's goofy. This is what he's saying. And I agree with him. This makes you a Superman. I don't feel like a Superman. Why? Maybe it's because I'm still in the boat. I'm saying to you this morning, it is God's will for you to be fear-free. But you won't be fear-free in the boat. He wants you to embrace his grace so much that you are becoming like him. Because you are full of grace. And I think it's going to take a prayer from you that says, Lord, I'm having a hard time believing this, but I can feel it. I can sense there's truth there. I see what the Word of God says. He's master of all. I don't fully get it up here. And God's saying, renew your mind. Don't worry about what's up here. Embrace it with your heart and pray for it. Pray for it. In my bulletin, I wrote to you about if I was in your house. Anybody read that? If I was in your house, I'd have to have your permission to tell anybody to do anything. right? And if you said, okay, Dale, in my house, you have permission, you're in control, then I could act, couldn't I? You know what your house is? It's your heart. And you know who wants to be in there to take control? It's Jesus. It's not Dale. It's Jesus. And I'm saying to you, with all of your heart, say, Lord, I want you to be Lord in every respect. I want the Word to be first in my life. I want to walk in the supernatural. I want to walk on water because I know it's your call for me. But you know, He can't do that for you until you pray that with your heart. It's your house. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I pray that our ears are hearing and our eyes are seeing, that we need a supernatural work of your Spirit working in us to take us out of the doldrums, out of the blindness, out of the weakness of naturalism. You have made us sons and daughters, and I'm asking you to work in our hearts so that we ask with all of our heart, Lord, make me like Jesus. Lord, make me see, embrace, wake up to the righteousness and the authority of the name of Jesus, that Jesus is in me, and that makes me master of all. Because Jesus is master of all, and He's in me. Wake me up. I want it with my whole heart. I don't want to continue to live as a child. I want to live as a son and daughter. Amen.